Hey everyone, and welcome to this edition of Stream On. I'm Jim Williams, your host. You know, we have a very special guest today, and it is Jocelyn Diaz, who is the Executive Vice President for Original Programming at Epix. Now, Jocelyn has a very outstanding resume that includes time at HBO, where she oversaw such outstanding programs as Boardwalk Empire and Big Love. Prior to that, she was with the ABC Television Network, where she oversaw some of the top programs that we all loved at the time. Of course, that would be Lost, Ugly Betty, Pushing Daisy, NYPD Blue, The Practice, Drew Carey Show, just to name a few. She's now, as we said, at Epix, where she has created some outstanding programming. Graves, which if you haven't seen it, you should. It's really funny. Well done. There's, of course, Get Shorty, which is an outstanding program. And, of course, Berlin Station. So we welcome Jocelyn to Stream On. And Jocelyn, I'll tell you, you put together a nice, solid list of three top-notch programs. Plus, of course, you've got documentaries and other projects that have aired on Epix. But it's only the beginning. I understand that things are going to get even better at Epix. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your plans for what's coming up right there on Epix?
We have those series that you named. We have a number of one-off documentaries and comedy specials and concert specials, and we'll be certainly doing more of those. But there's also a real commitment and push to more scripted series coming beyond the seasons and recurring seasons that we have of the shows that you've named, and then also a lot of non-scripted series programming coming. So we have a lot.
Okay. Now, you're a rock star when it comes to picking programming. Okay. So what is the secret? What, from your standpoint as a programmer, when you sit down, you look at a script, how do you look at it and how do you decide, okay, this is the one we're going to take and this is where, take us from soup to nuts, how it goes.
Okay. So first of all, that was very kind. And thank you for that. We try our best. But, I think for me, I came up as a developer. And mm-hmm. what I think that really means is that the work really first and foremost has to be in the execution of the script, and mm-hmm. that you need to have a wonderful concept, and you need to have great cast and great director and great execution. But really that kind of comes later, and the concept is part of the marketing, certainly. It has to be a really special execution inside the script. And so when we develop material and are making especially scripted series, which it sounds like is what you're asking about as opposed to
right.
non-scripted, that mm-hmm. On the scripted series side, the first thing that you do is you look at how the project is coming in. And sometimes they come mm-hmm. in as pitches, and you're sitting on someone sitting on my sofa and tells you a story mm-hmm. about characters in a world that you want to see, and you have to, and part of the responsibility of doing this job and having some experience behind you is knowing whether the person who's pitching you, that writer and that producer sitting on that couch, whatever they're pitching you, can they actually execute? Do they have the chops to do it? And if you
sure.
feel like they do, and you connect to the characters and you connect to what the concept is and the idea that they're throwing at you, you buy it, and then you build it ground up with them. But a script can also come in that's already written, which we call a spec. And mm-hmm. in that instance, you can see the proof is absolutely there in the pudding. Whatever mm-hmm. the idea was, did they execute it? Is it all there? And then I think when I look for, particularly inside whatever genre it is character first, is really character first. And mm-hmm. stories for me at a premium cable company, which is different, from when I worked maybe at a broadcast company, although certainly we had a real focus on characters too. But
sure.
it is to say you fall in love with these characters, or you fall in hate, or you fall in disgust, or whatever it may be, but you're compelled by the characters that you're watching. And so are the characters there, and is the situation set up, and is the concept set up in a way that they're going to go and follow stories in whatever way that's going to every single time reflect back on a character decision that shows you complicated humanity. So that I think is something I try to keep in mind as we're looking at material.
Well, I mean, what you have on already, for instance, let's go to like Berlin Station. Was Richard Armitage and Ashley Judge attached to the product before you got involved, or was that something that happened after the script came about?
Neither of them were. Neither of them were. No, there was no cast attached. Actually, that's not true. When the project came to me, there was one person attached. There was one actor attached that ended up falling out of the show. And so
Oops.
and wasn't one of the lead roles, but ended up falling out of the show, which was a blessing because the person that we got in their stead is incredible. But so no, there was no cast attached except for that one person who fell out. As you may know, Richard Armitage was in the first season and second season. Ashley
Right.
Judd did not come in until the second season.
Right.
So no, we reached out to her in our second season because we knew we wanted to bring in a really strong female CIA chief, and
Well,
with her.
I was going to say that was a good reach.
Thank you. Yeah,
Same.
we were delighted.
So then, more often than not, it's the script that comes first, and then you go and get the proper stars to go to fit the way you like it. Or has
More
there
often
been
than
one that?
not.
Okay, so more often than not. So
More
seldom
often
are
than
you
not.
now more. So it's now seldom that you're getting a pitch with a star that comes with it.
Yeah, or yes. I mean, there certainly are projects that come in, both pitches and spec scripts that come in with pieces of talent attached. But more often than not, they don't. And more often than not, in my experience, they haven't necessarily. There could be an incredible piece of casting attached to a project that isn't right for us. So, and I think that a good rule of thumb always has to be, especially for TV, has to be, is it there in the script? Is it there in the work? And if it's not, then it doesn't matter who's producing it, and it doesn't matter how great the actor is. If it's not there in the execution, you're starting off in trouble.
Sounds, yeah, it doesn't sound like a recipe for success.
No.
With what you have now, and you have your history at HBO and Disney, of course, and ABC. So you've been on the broadcast side, you've been in the premium cable side, you're now with Epix. And one of the joys, I guess, from your standpoint, is you don't have to hit, like in broadcast, 22 episodes or 16 or 18 or 20, 20 plus episodes to make it work. You can focus on a certain amount, maybe it's 8, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 12 episodes per season, and focus in that regard, which gives you, I would assume, a little bit more opportunity to really develop characters and to really flesh this thing out.
Yes, it is entirely true and a huge blessing. And I had a wonderful time at ABC and made a lot of shows and a ton of episodes of television. But yeah, I mean, when I look back to know that, we did, 22 or 24 episodes of like huge, big, complicated dramas every year. It by the end, of course, the toll that it takes on the writers and on the cast and production, it's hard, and it's hard to keep up the level of quality just because it's so much is coming at you. And yes, to have exactly as you say, I one of the things that is great about being at a premium cable company like Epix is we have the freedom to say what however long the story needs, that's how long it should be. So if it on both the scripted and non-scripted side, if it needs to be 6 episodes, 10, 12, four, whatever it may be. But I really don't like right now going above, especially on the scripted side, 10 or 12 because of what it requires of the writers. And yes, of course, to have more time to get it right, to have some more time to protect the characters and get it right.
So that gives you the 12 or 13 outstanding episodes. Then you can give everybody a little time off so they can recharge and come back and write another season.
Yes, that is the idea. That is the idea. Although, when you think about it, for the most part, a typical build out is anywhere from 4 to 6 months in terms of getting a show ready and on its feet
Sure.
and written. And then you have to go shoot it for an hour long. It's usually about a 6 month shoot. So, even on that schedule, there's not a ton of downtime for our writers, but there's a little. There's certainly more than there is in broadcast.
I was going to say there's more than a 3 or 4 week hiatus before you're back
Yeah.
running. You don't have
Yeah.
to go
Well,
through 17 showrunners.
no, exactly. And as you know, I think part of the challenge for even at our schedule, even doing, 10 episodes of television, that they have the writers' room and they're writing the room, writing the show, getting things ready for the writers, and then we go into production and then part of the job of the showrunner is to run the show. So they are very involved in the actual execution and production, and are doing rewrites at the same time and, running back and forth sometimes, in our case internationally. back and forth between countries to try to get everything together. So they're busy.
So now that you're at Epix and you've got, you know, full run, we'll let them, we won't tell anybody that you really run everything, but we'll just let it go at that. What about the situation with regard to Epix, and give me some of the stuff that excites you to go to work every day?
What excites me to go to work every day is always the writers, first and foremost, the writers, producers, actors, directors, certainly, yes, and the company that, you know, we work in. We have a very, I think, lean company at Epix. There are a lot of, very few people wearing a lot of hats, which is can be challenging, but I think from a standpoint of, like, responsibility to what we're doing and a real insight into what we're doing and understanding of everything that goes on to make these shows, get these shows going. There's certainly a blessing in that. But yeah, I like stories. I mean, I think if you are blessed enough to do this for a living and get to do it for a while, hopefully you have a real love of storytelling and characters at the forefront of that. But to sit and tell a great story and to be a part of creating that is really wonderful. So whether it's documentaries, certainly, or scripted series or comedy specials or whatever it may be that we're working on, and I get to luckily get to do a lot in my job, it's always about the storytelling.
Speaking of storytelling, let's take a couple of quick looks at some of the sports stuff. You've got the Danica Patrick special and of course series that Hannah Storm has put together with you, and of course the George Foreman, a lot of things on the sports side that also are very well crafted, very good storytelling.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think that on the sort of sports doc side of things for us, which has been a successful and stuff we're really proud of in terms of the execution, and you just named two of them that are very recent for us, and we're really, really pleased with. And I think what we always look for in whoever we are exploring in their stories, especially in sports docs, is how they elevate or transcend their sport. So I think those are two athletes that you just named, both George Foreman and Danica Patrick, who are incredible athletes, but their stories transcend their sport. And who they are transcends their sport. Serena Williams was a doc that we did last year that we're crazy about. That it also, I think I would point to that and say the most amazing athlete maybe ever of all time is Serena Williams. But certainly who she is as a person goes outside of tennis. And that's part of the exploration. So, yeah, that has been really wonderful for us. But we kind of always try to go back to the filter of does this individual and their story go outside of what it is that they're just excellent at.
We'll have more of Stream On after these words.
When you look for things, when you search the polished showrooms, the markets, the runway shows, you are looking for me. Beyond luxury and status, beyond capability and utility, you are looking for me. And when you dream, when you dream of an SUV existing far beyond the ordinary, an SUV steeped in performance, infused with passion, artistic beyond description, you unknowingly dream of me. I am the end of your search, your drive, your dream. I am what you live for. I am the Alfa Romeo Stelvio, the first sport utility vehicle created by Alfa Romeo.
Welcome back to Stream On. I'm Jim Williams, your host. Let's talk more with Jocelyn Diaz of Epix. I think one of the joys of having Epix as far as a streaming service is you have all of your outstanding programming, the original programming, basically at your fingertips, which allows someone who may not have seen Graves or Get Shorty or some of these other great shows the opportunity to sit down and binge watch and catch up and get an opportunity to see something that they may not have seen before.
Yeah, no, our digital team, which is out of New York, and is incredible, has done an amazing job of making sure our content is available and really available on so many different devices. It's so many that I can't even believe there are as many devices as we are available on, but we really are, and they've done a great job of making sure that our material and work gets out there.
Where do you see Epics in 5 years?
In 5 years, I think both from a distribution standpoint, but certainly in terms of an original programming standpoint, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot, and really, really loud, really big. And hopefully, our job is to try to make sure that it's all of those things and really good and really high level execution quality. That's what we're looking for. So, you know, we have a lot that we have right now on the air, but compared to what we have right now to what's coming, it is going to, I think, probably quadruple. It's a lot more coming.
You know, one of the things I think that people should do, if you haven't done it yet, try the Epics app, download it on, I've got Roku, but you can download it on any number of different devices. Run the trial and check it out, because I will tell you that you will be pleasantly surprised, and you're going to sign up very quickly, because it is, as I said before, there's a lot of stuff there. We talked about, obviously, the outstanding original product that you guys do, but there's a lot of good movies from a lot of different places, obviously, from your relationship with Lionsgate and MGM, of course, and there's a lot of content there that you can't find anywhere else. And I really think that that, too, is going to be a help as Epic grows, and we find that people continually now consume their content on phones, tablets, and other devices.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that shout out. Yes, I hope people go look for it, find it, and they'll find all the things that you just said, amazing movies, incredible catalogs from our studio partners that are there, as well as original materials. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, guilty pleasure. What do you like to watch when you watch television?
Oh, guilty pleasure. Okay. I'm trying to think of like what my good guilty pleasures. I tend to like to kind of ask the people around me, and you know, certainly working in Hollywood, what people are watching or excited about, and then go. And I do tend to be a little bit of a binge watcher. And part of that is just time. It's just making sure you have enough time, and to follow every week is tough, but to kind of, you know, get The Crown, which was a show that I love that was on Netflix, and sit and watch it pretty quickly is something that I did. I'm trying to think if I have a good guilty. I don't tend to watch, maybe a guilty one would be like, you know, a food cooking show. I would watch those. That would be me the guilty one that, you know, I obviously am not doing research into writers or actors or directors or great content. I'm just enjoying it. And then I'll go watch some, you know, wonderful British television and British crime. That feels like a nice little escape for me sometimes too. And I don't have to worry about whether or not it's working. I can just sit back and enjoy it.
Just for the record, mine is Project Runway, but that's, you know.
It's a good one. That's a good one.
I can't believe I've actually watched it for 16 years. That's the bizarre part of it. But Tim Gunn used
clearly
to be.
Connect with you.
Well, Tim Gunn used to be in, a neighbor of mine down in D.C. before he went up
really?
New York. And so I was, I had someone who I knew. So it was kind of like, oh, let's see how Tim does and go from there. But yeah, guilty pleasure aspect. But you're right. I always kind of gravitate over to, say, Doc Martin or something from the Brits on that standpoint. And it gets back to what you're talking about in original programming. Most of the BBC and ITV stuff is usually somewhere, their sweet spot is, you know, between 8 and 10 episodes.
Yes.
That's it. And
yes.
The irony in Doc Martin, as a matter of fact, is that they actually shoot 8 or 10, then they take a year off.
I know.
So it's
I know.
Taken,
you know, you,
it's taken
you
them 10 years to shoot, you know, eight seasons.
Yeah, you know, or you have some franchises like the Prime Suspect franchise with Helen Mirren. Where, you know, they would, you know, do a very, very few episodes. And then, you know, what's happening right now with Sherlock, which is a show that I adore. Yeah. And because of Benedict Cumberbatch's schedule and Martin Freeman's schedule, and I'm sure other reasons that I don't even understand, they will do about 6 episodes and then put it down for a year and a half, maybe, and you know, it'll come back and it'll be great whenever it comes back. Maybe they won't come back for another 3 years, but I hope they do.
Do you have a dream cast for a show? Regardless, you know, forget the show, but if you could cast any two or three stars in a show, who would they be?
You know, Helen Mirren is one that I have referenced a lot, not just because of Prime Suspect, but I think she's pretty spectacular. You know, one of the we were talking about it just not too long ago. One of the people I would have said that to have the opportunity to work with Meryl Streep, and I did, was a joy of my career. She is as good as you think she is. She's that incredible to watch work. That was pretty fantastic. I'm trying to think of who I would like. Cast right now. I mean, I think that who I would pull over to create this amazing show. There are so many wonderful actors out there. I think I need to give a little bit of thought. But the first two that come to mind for whatever reason are Helen Mirren and Meryl Streep. Those two are pretty great.
Geez, that if you're going to pick, that's not a bad duo to start with. I mean, going down the list, if you could nail those two to a contract, you wouldn't have any trouble attaching others to it. I would think not.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I know there's something coming up in 2018 that's very exciting for you. Why don't you tell us about it?
Thank you. We have a series that we're working on right now that we're shooting up in Montreal, mostly in Montreal and Canada. And it's based on a best-selling international book called The Truth About the Harry Quebert Affair. Mm-hmm. It is through our partners at MGM that are making it, and we are so excited about it. It is a murder mystery, a very complicated murder mystery that happens in a small town. And actually, while we're shooting it in Canada, it is set in New England. So we're really excited about it. Patrick Dempsey stars as the titular character, and we will come to find out exactly what happened in his past and in his town's past that has got everybody a little bit unhinged. But it's great character work. It is really a delicious, exciting mystery. And again, that will be on the air in spring. Jean-Jacques Annaud, who's the acclaimed French director, has directed all episodes of it, which are 10, and that will be on in the spring. So we're really excited about that and excited about our partnership with MGM on that project.
Speak a little bit about that partnership. That's a pretty amazing partnership between Epix and MGM.
It is. So, you know, they were one of our studio owners. We were a joint venture between MGM, mm-hmm. Lionsgate, and Paramount. This past spring, there was a full acquisition of the company by MGM. So we are now a wholly owned MGM company, which is really exciting. And I think that we had a great run under three owners, but certainly to have a bit of a singular direction is great and exciting. And for our purposes who work in original programming, particularly exciting because they really want to do a lot more, and we'll have a number of projects coming along with them. But again, we are lockstep along with them in so many ways right now as we are fully integrated. So it's been exciting.
That's too bad you couldn't get with a studio that's been around for a while.
I know. If only.
Yeah, if only. Here's your opportunity to, I mean, I know why I like Epix, but why should, from your standpoint, what excites you about watching Epix?
Okay. So what I would say is, beyond our incredible movie catalogs, which are phenomenal and deep, and you can come and watch great movies, which is fantastic, original programming and what we not only have put on the air already, but especially with what is coming, our promise to you is that we will always try and hopefully get there more than we don't, that it will be the highest level of execution in terms of behind the camera, in front of the camera, script work, wonderful actors, and above everything else, just characters that you really care about. And so I hope that whatever the genre, and we will have many different genres coming for you, that you will feel like we're really trying to aim high in our execution and appealing to great, mature, adult, interesting programming that challenges you and shows and reflects back humanity at its best and sometimes at its worst, but that speaks to people. So that is why I would come to Epix. We're going to try to give you more of that.
Sounds great. Jocelyn Diaz, Executive Vice President of Original Programming for Epix. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, that brings to a close yet another edition of Stream On. Now, if you've not yet subscribed to the service, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, It is easily done and free. All right. Now, where can you find us? Here we go. The iTunes Store, Google Play. You can find us on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us on the very popular Stitcher app, which has a plethora of different types of podcasts of all genres. So you can find us on Stitcher. And last but certainly not least, we are part of the TuneIn app, which I don't know about you, but I'm one of the more than 125 million people who have downloaded the TuneIn app either on your phone or on your tablet. So you just search Stream On with Jim Williams. It'll pop up there. Hit the little favorite button, and every week you'll have Stream On delivered to either your phone or your tablet, okay? So five opportunities to subscribe to Stream On. Please take one of them and subscribe to us, okay? We really would love to have you as a subscriber. Special thanks to Jocelyn Diaz, the Executive Vice President of Original Programming at Epix. They got a lot of outstanding stuff going on, so if you haven't checked out Epix, do it now, okay? Well, thanks everyone for joining us on this edition of Stream On. Have a wonderful weekend. And until next time, I'm Jim Williams saying goodbye.